mercy and peace be unto each of you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text is the gospel reading for this day from Matthew chapter 20. I read for you again these words. But Jesus replied to one of them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last worker as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity?" So the last will be first, and the first last. So far the reading of the text. In the name of Jesus, dear fellow redeemed, last week we heard that we are natural-born record keepers who keep track of the sins committed against us. Today, we hear of a different kind of record keeping and how it is just as harmful to us. And the problem with such record keeping is that we take our eyes off the gifts that God so freely gives us. And when that happens, we grumble and complain. When we take our eyes off the grace of God, we start to think that we deserve His goodness, that we've earned it. When we look at things through the lens of the world, we miss the overwhelming generosity that God showers upon us. When we apply the world's accounting to the things of God, we always come out on the short end of the stick. Or so it seems. Now, that's certainly why the Israelites so often grumbled against Moses and against God. That's why the workers who worked all day in the vineyard were angry. Though they received what they had agreed to, they were angry that those who worked less than they did received the same amount. It was a case of envy, and it's the same in our day. Yet, the master was not unfair at all. Those first workers had agreed to a denarius for the day, and that's what they received. Nothing unfair about that. What they didn't like was that those who were hired later than they were, those who had worked less time, received the same pay they did. They were angry because of something good that happened to their neighbor. They were upset at the master's generosity. They were sad and downcast because others were happily rejoicing. If they can't have more than a denarius, then they at least wanted others to have less. But think for a moment how truly dark and demonic that sort of anger is. To be disappointed that someone else has something to rejoice over. To be bitter because another person is happy. To cry unfair, not because of some wrong done to you, but because of some good thing that happens to another. And yet, have you never felt the jealousy when a friend or family member has something truly good happen to them that they don't deserve? Have you never felt envy and anger toward the person who received an economic windfall through an inheritance or a promotion you thought you deserved more? How about someone who received a gift that you wanted for yourself? Have you ever thought, I've worked hard all my life. And then she ends up with all this and that she didn't earn. It's just not fair. Beloved, that's the devil's mindset. He prowls around like a hungry lion, seeking whom he may devour, seeking to drag people down to hell, and fiercely angry because it's not fair that God shows such love to human beings. It's not fair that sinners who turn their back on God repent and get to come into His kingdom. It's not fair that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for the world. The devil is always hoping for people to get just what they deserve. For hell is truly the kingdom of fairness, where everyone gets what they have coming. After all, the scriptures say that the wages of sin is death. Jesus said that anyone who is angry with his brother and calls him a fool is liable to the hell of fire. St. James points out that even if you kept the whole law and stumbled in just one point, you'd be guilty of breaking all of it. So, don't ask God for what's fair. Do not begrudge your neighbor when he unexpectedly and undeservedly finds himself blessed by a generous God. For when Jesus tells you how the kingdom of God works, it's nothing like the kingdom of fairness. Instead, the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who pays a man who works for only 1 hour a whole day's wage. This isn't fair at all. It's crazy. But what a glorious madness it is. It's the gracious foolishness of God, which is wiser than men's wisdom. It's a kingdom of grace where no one gets what he deserves, where the last are first and the first are last. And still no one is jealous, for no one has the right to be. All are getting better than what they earned, more than what they could ever have hoped. When your mother told you long ago that life isn't fair, she spoke truer words than she knew. For God will give you not what you deserve, not what you've earned, but what another has earned in your place. For it is written, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Likewise, the apostle declares, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree. Yes, beloved, the kingdom of God is founded on a most unfair and gracious act. Our Lord Jesus Christ taking on the curse that sin brought. He didn't earn that. He certainly did not deserve it. For behold, the first has become the last. Behold, on the cross, the great travesty of worldly justice and the great miracle of mercy. For the firstborn, the only begotten Son of God, hangs there, having become for you the very last and worst sinner, becoming a curse for your sake. Such is the mercy of God the Father, that the curse you were under was taken by another. Such is the graciousness of God, that your eternal death is turned away by the death of the Eternal One in human flesh. Oh, Christian, rejoice, for all this grace is yours. Eternal life is not fair. You didn't earn it, but it's yours. For you were baptized into the death of Christ and were thus raised with Him to newness of life. Your life is now hid with God in Christ. He is your life. The great and merciful Lord, who throws around the wage He earned for you on the cross, loves you and will never let you go. So give up on being fair and instead learn to love the grace of God. For the path to that dark kingdom of fairness is wide and tempting. Seeking vengeance and your fair share and full equality tastes so sweet in the mouth, but it's a bitter pill that will turn your stomach. For fairness leads only to the death of the sinner, but grace and mercy leads to life. And so we do live by grace alone. This is what the great slogan of the Lutheran Reformation means. We cannot earn our way into heaven. We cannot claim rights before God. We know that all we have deserved from God is death and damnation. But glory be to God, He is not fair. He's gracious and generous. We cannot climb into heaven by our own efforts, but only by the gift of His Son, the great and merciful Lord, who throws around the wage that He earned for you on the cross, loves you. Grace alone. Not some of God's grace and a little of our work, but grace alone. For what could we have done to convince Jesus that He should die for us? But before we even knew how to ask, He came of His own gracious will. And before we dared to ask, He offers us Himself for the forgiveness of sins. Grace alone. We are saved by grace alone. And no matter how long we have labored in the Lord's vineyard, His grace is the same. Whether we've been at it for 90 years or an hour, His grace, His forgiveness, His life is yours as His gift to you. Celebrate and rejoice, for you belong to the Lord. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.